What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Thursday, April 26, 2018. Sure happy it's Thursday. We've got a lot to talk about today. Not as much as yesterday, so we can take more phone calls today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone, put you on the air with your comments, questions, observations, opinions, and so forth and so on. Now, if you've been watching the corporate media all this morning, you'd think absolutely nothing was happening in the world except for the fact that Bill Cosby was found guilty on three counts of sexual assault, each of which carries a maximum sentence of 10 years and a fine of up to $25,000. Now, obviously, Cosby doesn't need to worry about the money, but he is an old man, and he's going to probably see some jail time unless somebody pulls some strings for him or he leaves the country. Fox News, ever since the verdict came down, they've been covering nothing else. It's just, I feel like we're being conditized. That the corporate media are just happy to have this to focus on so they don't have to report on the other things going on in the world here. All right, let's get into Syria. Russia is showing off U.S., French, and British missiles that were intercepted. They put them all on display with signs and photographs to show where the components and parts came from. It's quite a large display here. So basically, to recap, 105 munitions, most of them Tomahawk land attack missiles, launched against targets which the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons says were not chemical weapons facilities. 22 of those 105 hit their targets. Half of them fell out of the air due to technical problems, and the rest were intercepted. Not exactly a stunning success. And looking back at the similar attack a year ago, I think the rest of the world is getting the message. America's weapons aren't all that good. And that's why more and more countries are like Turkey, wanted by the Russian systems. They're less expensive and more capable. Now, apparently, over in the United Nations Security Council, they're getting ready to sort of use this loophole in the rules to get around Russia's veto of U.S. resolutions regarding Syria. And apparently, in the United Nations General Assembly resolution of 1950, there is a provision that allows the transference of an issue out of the Security Council and to the General Assembly so that they can have a vote which represents the opinion of the entire world rather than just the members of the Security Council. And in the General Assembly, there is apparently no veto. So over in Ukraine, President Poroshenko is calling for increasing the effectiveness of NATO and immediately reforming the UN by depriving the aggressor country of the right to veto, meaning, of course, Russia. And I note that nobody ever thought about using this loophole to bypass the U.S. vetoes of resolutions concerning Israel. Funny how it only just popped up now. Oh, we can use this against Russia here. Now, Israeli media published a photo claiming to be an Iranian airbase inside Syria to basically whip up support for an Israeli strike deep into Syria, saying, we've got to get that Iranian airbase. They're coming to get us. But smart observers took a close look at the photo and pointed out the photo actually shows Mahrabad International Airport in the Iranian capital city of Tehran. It's an Iranian airport. Not exactly a base, but it's not in Syria. It's in Iran. And the Jerusalem Post published this photo with a caption saying it showed proof of Iranian military involvement in Syria. And they're claiming it was released to them by the Israeli Defense Forces spokesman's unit Tuesday morning. So either the IDF is lying or the Jerusalem Post is lying. But again, it's a hoax. It's another fake. Now, Trump is out there talking tough against his Iran, but according to this article from Unz.com, his actual political options are very, very limited right now. We're coming up on this crisis where, once again, the indications coming from President Waffle is that he is going to unilaterally pull out of the P5+1 deal unless Iran makes all kinds of concessions, which Iran is refusing to do. And U.S. officials admit Iran has so far abided by the terms of the 2015 accord. The U.S. has not. They did not rescind all of the sanctions. They only rescinded some of them and then immediately put new sanctions onto Iran. So it's the U.S. that's not acting in good faith here. But Trump wants to go on in there and strip Iran of their long-range missiles, their weapons of deterrent. And I'm sure that Iran has noticed the recent history of the United States, which will go into a country and say, you've got to give up your weapons of deterrence, and we promise we will not invade you. They got Saddam to give up his chemical weapons arsenal. He never had a nuclear arsenal. And they invade Iraq. They convinced Syria to give up their chemical weapons. They're trying to invade and conquer Syria. They got Libya to surrender its very premature infant nuclear program. And then they invaded. And I'm sure Iran is smart enough to realize that allowing your weapons of deterrence to be politicked away just opens the gate to an eventual U.S. Invasion. And I'm sure Iran has been paying attention to all the politicians in this country who are all in favor of a war against Iran, like John McCain. Remember that video of him dancing around going bomb, 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 Iran? He thought that was great fun. He's laughing his head off. Meanwhile, Iran is starting to fight back on the war of rhetoric. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani basically came on out and said that, you know, Trump doesn't have any background in politics. He doesn't have any background in law. He doesn't have any background on international treaties. He's just out there, you know, trying to thump his Trump and act like the bull ape, the silverback, in charge of everything. We're going to do a shout out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. Iran has apparently detected and arrested a London-backed espionage operation. And apparently it was a widespread network, and they were there to basically conduct spying operations in Iran. And they also were in contact with leaders of the 2009 unrest and other anti-Iran groups. Now, Abbas Edalat was also among those arrested. He's a British-Iranian citizen and a professor of computer sciences and mathematics at Imperial College in London. And Imperial College plays a special role in training spies in different disguises to launch espionage operations inside Iran. Now, you need to remember, back in 2009, when they were trying to topple the government of Ahmadinejad, the corporate media was out there saying, oh, this is the Iranian people. They hate Ahmadinejad. And Ahmadinejad says he wants to wipe Israel off the map. All of these, of course, turned out to be complete lies. And this was another covert attempt to stir up discord and bring down the government. And they failed. And the U.S. does fail about half the time they try these operations. So that's the background on that. And so for Iran to be picking up these British spies, the signals that Britain is still in there mucking about. Not exactly James Bond quality work. Meanwhile, over in Algeria, they recently arrested a network of spies operating for Israel. It was composed of seven Africans. And they say this proves the Mossad is attempting to undermine state security. The head of the spy ring has been sentenced to death, and the rest are going to go to prison for a very, very long time, possibly longer than Bill Cosby. Now, interesting situation. Corrupt likes corrupt. And over in Romania, their leader, like Benjamin Netanyahu, is facing corruption charges. And he was supposed to attend a hearing on those corruption charges, which he dodged by unexpectedly flying down to visit Israel, seemingly at Netanyahu's invitation. And Netanyahu, of course, is proclaiming Romania's willingness to move its embassy to Jerusalem. So maybe Romania's leader is not planning on returning to Romania anytime soon. But it does seem like all of these leaders and politicians, they are all corrupt. And I understand that's been a truism throughout history. And most societies can tolerate a small degree of corruption. But when it spins as out of control as it has here in the United States, it becomes a clear and present danger to the nation itself. And that's kind of where we are. Over at Gaza's largest hospital, the wounded keep coming in from Israel's sniper attacks on unarmed, peaceful protesters in Gaza. And they're trying to get them on in there, and they're trying to get them all out by Thursday, because they know the next day, on Friday, there's going to be a new round of wounded people coming on in. Now, a second Gazan journalist who was shot by Israel during the border protest has died of his wounds. This is Gaza photojournalist Ahmed Abu Hassan Hussein, was gravely injured last Friday while documenting the march of return. And he's now succumbed to his injuries. Now, Israel is justifying the shooting of journalists, and they've shot a lot of them, saying, well, just because they have press on their vests doesn't mean that they're really journalists. They could be terrorists. In fact, we're pretty sure they're actually terrorists trying to use the press as a cover. So they're shooting them. Once again, Israel is refusing to allow a Gaza man seriously wounded by sniper fire access to medical treatment in the West Bank. And it's necessary to save his leg from amputation. They've done this once before. And again, these are two parts of what is left of Palestine. But Israel just would rather have this guy lose his leg. This is very punitive, cruel punishment. And the world is really starting to notice. Now, Palestinian diplomats have filed a complaint at the United Nations accusing Israel of racism. Gee, you think? They're accusing Israel of breaching an anti-racism treaty with policies that are displacing and replacing the Palestinian people. The complaint runs 350 pages. It was presented to the UN on Monday of this week. And basically, it says Israel is showing obvious bias against Palestinians through a two-tiered legal system and violating rights to freedom of movement, religion, access to resources, and housing. And the Palestinian envoy to the UN, Ibrahim Qureshi, was saying this system of racism and discrimination by the Israelis must not be recognized as a legal system. Now, I don't think the UN will do anything about it. It might even get to the Security Council. And, of course, Nikki Haley will get up there with her pom-poms and her short skirt and go, veto, veto, veto. And as if they didn't have enough problems, apparently June is going to be a critical month for the Gazans because the U.S. stopped contributing to the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, which has been providing food aid for the Palestinians. And without that money, they're going to run out of food supplies to take into Palestine in June. I'm hoping some charity or philanthropist will come forward and fill that gap. But again, Trump's action is another reminder of just how tightly controlled our government is by the nation of Israel. And Trump's action actually constitutes a war crime because it's collective punishment of a population which has not done anything to the United States of America. In fact, they haven't done anything. A lot of people like to draw parallels between Israel's treatments of the Palestinians and Americans' treatments of the Native Americans. And there are certain parallels, and there was a lot of cruelty done back then. And we look back on that, and we recognize now that a lot of what was done was very, very wrong. Not just immoral, but illegal, like Sand Creek would be a good example. Well, we need to recognize, and that's what this complaint to the UN is doing, that what Israel is doing in Palestine is in fact illegal. And it should be criticized. Now, the other day we were talking about how South Carolina's legislature voted through a bill that would define criticism of the government of Israel as anti-Semitism. And apparently this is a part of an international campaign being run by Israel to basically criminalize all criticism of Israel as anti-Semitism. And that any advocacy for Palestinian rights be criminalized as hate speech. You know, we want to get food to the Palestinians. Oh, no, no, that's hate speech against Israel. And trying to deflect criticism from Israel's government by saying it's hatred of the Jews makes about as much sense as deflecting criticism of the Nazis by saying you hate the Germans, or criticism of Stalin by saying you just hate the Russian people. And it really doesn't make sense if you think about it. And yet Israel has gotten away with this in the media for 70 years. And now they're trying to get it coded into law right alongside all the laws that criminalize asking questions about the Orthodox account of the history of World War II. Now, last week at Bernard College, which has got a heavy Jewish population, the students voted in a referendum to divest from 8 companies that do business in Israel. But unfortunately, Bernard president Sion Balak has overridden the vote and said, absolutely not, we will not divest. So somebody's got his number. We're starting to see a little more tension build up in Ukraine. Kiev is threatening Russia with full-scale war if the gas transit to Europe through Ukraine stops. Now, as you know, there's a second pipeline being built that will soon bypass Ukraine and get oil and gas to Europe, which hopefully will happen soon enough to defuse the situation. But what's going on here is that as that gas transit goes through Ukraine, Ukraine takes some of that gas for their own needs. Only they haven't been paying for it. And so Russia has been showing tremendous patience and just letting Ukraine get away with what amounts to theft. But now they're talking about if Ukraine does not pay the gas bill, they're going to shut off the gas pipeline. And yes, it's going to negatively impact Europe. Now, Kiev is trying to frame this as the gas transit to Europe rather than acknowledge the fact that Ukraine has been taking gas from the pipe without paying for it. But apparently Kiev is talking about major war here, and as we reported yesterday, there are indications of a major offensive in Ukraine next month. All right, let's start taking some phone calls. Peter in Los Angeles, I'm probably going to have to take you through the commercial break. What's on your mind?
Oh, thank you, Mike. Mike, I just wanted to raise something about the Israeli snipers. That this is an isolated incident. There's videos there of guys, the Israeli snipers, cheering as they shoot down unarmed, imprisoned people in the Gaza Strip.
Yes.
And there's multiple. There are different people doing it, and this has been going on for years. But I want to hark back to the only scene, Mike, that I remember out of the movie Schindler's List was a scene where the Ralph Fiennes character, playing some sadistic Nazi commandant, takes a rifle. He's sitting in his office. He takes a rifle. He walks out to his balcony. And he just picks off one of the inmates at this prison camp. And now that may or may not be true. It's unverified, but it may or may not be true. But what is true? What we do know. That it wasn't a vicious Nazi. These are the citizen army, the most moral army in the world. Multiple times we have them on film, shooting down unarmed people and then celebrating, just like Ralph Fiennes did in the Schindler's List movie.
I'm going to have to put you on hold. On hold, and we'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking with Peter in Los Angeles. And first of all, let's clear up a few misconceptions about Schindler's List. When that book was first published, it was listed as a work of fiction. And this idea that it was a true story was part of the film's marketing campaign. Second, historians looking at the actual camp where this was all supposed to take place report that the commandant's rooms were facing the outside. He didn't want to look into the camp. He wanted the nice scenery. And so he couldn't even see the enclosure from his office. That's the reality. But, you know, it's Hollywood. And Hollywood distorts history an awful lot. And unfortunately, a lot of people will come out of those movies and think they've received a history lesson, and instead they've just been propagandized. Now, the other thing to keep in mind, of course, is that unlike America's prisons like Abu Ghraib, the International Red Cross was given office space in every one of those German slave labor camps. And had a commandant done something like that, the Red Cross would have reported it and sought his removal. I mean, the Nazis did have a very strict code of discipline regarding the behavior of the people in those camps. And they kept very, very good records. They had a lot of doctors there who were trying to keep those people healthy because they were of value to the German war effort. So just randomly shooting them didn't make any sense. But again, Hollywood loves to distort history.
Yeah, Michael, of course, is artistic, quote, Zionist artistic license. But let me also make my point. There's one more thing I'd like to say. But the first point I want to make is that this is a drafty citizen army. The army is Israel. They say it all the time. And this kind of thing, this shooting down and celebrating, this is an artistic license. This really happens, and it happens all the time. And this has been going on. Great-granddaddy did it, and great-grandmommy did it too. And then grandmommy and granddaddy did it. And then mommy and daddy did it. And now brother and sister are doing it. This is a multi-generational blood sport war crime that involves the entire Israeli society, going back to 1947.
Well, I want to challenge that. First of all, the Jewish religion literally raises people to be absolutely paranoid, convinced that the rest of the world wants to destroy them. So does the ADL sensitivity training here. But the reality is some Israelis are willing to go on out there and pull the trigger, and some are not. And, of course, it's obvious the IDF is going to select those willing to pull the trigger to send down there to the firing line. So I think it's too broad a generalization to say that all of the people in Israel are willing to do this. I don't think that's true. I think there's probably a lot of Israelis who are very upset about what's going on. There have been protests against Netanyahu over this. But, again, there are people in the United States who are willing to pull a trigger. And the army recruits them and puts them on the front lines. It's the same mechanism all over. But it doesn't mean every single American is willing to go on out there and kill on command.
No, I agree with what you're saying on that, Mike. But I'm telling you, though, as a mass conscripted army going back since its inception, the odds are very much higher. And it's a little different from the American army. It's been all volunteer for years. And, yes, there's people, the refuseniks and all that. Let me point out to what you were saying about the camp and all that kind of thing. One of the things that people don't consider, or it actually has been, actually they've been led to not even look at, is the ultra intercepts that, you know, we had the entire SS codes and any military organization has to have a morning report. This, we have so many people present for duty, all our equipment's up, 80% down, whatever it might be. And this is what happened in our area of operations in the last 24 hours. That's done by every single military organization in the world. The SS commandant commanders would put that, encode that, should put it into ultra. They had no reason to lie in their reports to their superiors. And there's none of this stuff about executions, nothing at all. They had no idea they were being listened to. And so that's just one more thing that helps disprove at least the official narrative of what I don't really think happened, as they said.
There are reasons to doubt, and, for Israel to try and convince the governments of the world to criminalize the asking of a question tells you they've got something to hide, because of events in Germany and now Poland, they're on Poland's case, had happened as described, then they would welcome people to come in and take a look and see for themselves. But every time people look, they find that there's been this massive deception. Even the Auschwitz Museum recently changed the plaques at the front of that museum to reduce the number of estimated dead of all types of people, not just Jews, everybody. A lot of people died in those camps of typhus, down by 2.5 million. And yet that 6 million number remains unchanged. Anyway, Peter, we're going to let you go. Take another commercial break. We'll be back with another phone call after these few words. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Help if I turn up the volume. Welcome back to our show here. And we're going to take another phone call from Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Mike. I was just wondering if you had a couple news stories, like there's a big refinery fire in Wisconsin, at Superior, Wisconsin. They make, like, jet fuel, and it's pretty bad over there. Probably be down for, like, weeks and weeks.
Yeah, any refinery fire is going to be bad news. And I remember when I was still living in Southern California, I think high school or college, they had a big one at that refinery near Long Beach.
And then I got another story about, this was from Syrian Army, said that Russia sent some cruise missiles into Hama province against the terrorists. So that's happening. I think that started about an hour ago. But
okay.
Yeah, so that's going on. Hey, I want to respond to Peter. Hey Peter, if Israel really pushes it and they attack Russia, the Russians will smack them down. So don't worry, because the U.S. would have to make a decision then, either start a world war with the Russians, because, you know, if Israel attacks the Russian base, which is going to be hard now because they got the S-400 there, they got the Panzer S-1s, and they got the Tor M-2s there, so that place is a fortress. So But if they do attack and any Russians get killed, you can Israelis can say goodbye to their runways. At least.
Well, I question your optimism here, because remember, there is a formal memorandum of understanding that commits the United States to assist Israel in any wars, including wars Israel may choose to start. And they're certainly, again, looking at members of Congress, our government, our president, who are obviously under the control of Israel. Yes, if Israel attacks Russia and Russia counterattacks, we will be in a global world war. Because all the people who love the war, they don't have to fight in it. They don't have to risk their children in it. They don't have to pay for it. They're at the top of that pyramid. They're playing the great game. And all of our kids and money, they're just the playing pieces, the tokens.
It's just funny how Israel thinks everybody's going to come to their... Wouldn't it be something, though, if everybody says, you did that, you're on your own, Israel. That would be the best thing ever, because then Israel would be smacked down a notch. Because they think they're high, you know, they're God's chosen one, right? So they're all high and mighty right now. And they got to be smacked down a notch, and then maybe they won't do this crap. You know, they'll tone it down, per se, you know? But, hey, Mike, did you know who's like the world... feeds half the world now? The Russians. Their wheat exports feed half the world. It almost doubled, the wheat exports. So we don't feed the...
Well, the reason people are buying wheat and other produce from Russia is Russia's banned GMOs.
And didn't China also ban GMOs? Also, they're on the process, going non-GMO too. So, yeah, that's a big market. It's a very big market, you know, and it's just a shame that we're stuck with the Monsanto crap. You know?
Yeah, it's not. It's more than a shame. It's a threat to our lives and health.
All right, Mike, have a good show.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. Yeah, we're living in a society in which corporations are allowed to sell harmful, dangerous products, but as long as they turn a profit and share the wealth of government through taxes and campaign contributions, they're allowed to continue with it. And I'm very concerned about these efforts to start chipping away at the First Amendment. The South Carolina bill, they want to criminalize criticism of the government of Israel. Next, it'll be criminalizing criticism of vaccines or GMO. Once they get started, they're just going to chip away at that First Amendment until anything that is not the official word from the party leadership or the corporate leadership will be banned. Now, everybody knows there's a major conflict on the horizon. We'd all like to avoid it, believe me. But it looks like people are starting to choose up sides here. Russia and China militaries have reached new heights together, and they are in agreement to challenge the U.S. in the Middle East. And Russia, China have pledged to strengthen their bilateral military and political ties as part of a strategic cooperation to challenge U.S. meddling in the Middle East, especially Syria and Iran. Now, Russia has already committed to coming to Iran's aid in the event of a U.S. attack, which is definitely on the to-do list, the to-be-invaded and bombed list here. Even more interesting, though, India and Pakistan, whom you'd normally think of as being hostile towards each other, they've now announced they're going to have joint military drills with Russia and China. So that's the bloc that's emerging. Russia and China, India and Pakistan. And by the way, Pakistan has nuclear weapons as well. Plus Iran. All right, we're going to take another phone call. Jim in Chicago, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Michael. Since you're talking about Israel, last week, did you talk about that Palestinian scientist that was murdered in Indonesia?
Yeah, we did talk about that.
Yeah, because they're saying that it was probably the Mossad who did it, and they have a picture of one of the individuals, because the guy was shot down in public during the daytime, that one of the guys is from the Middle East, and they didn't say what part of the Middle East.
Oh, yeah. When the corporate media reports on any of these things, they'll never say an Israeli committed a crime. They'll just say somebody from the Middle East. to try and blur that.
Right. And the other thing, did you read today where Deutsche Bank is laying off 400 American bankers?
Yes. It's actually in our talking points in the economic section.
Okay, then I'll wait until then. But I said to myself, is that a sign where they know something's going to happen?
I would say so.
Okay.
Well, Michael, I would say so.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And it may actually tie into this story that we got here from Sputnik News, where Germany is now making noises about rapprochement with Russia. And they're saying it looks very optimistic that Germany and Russia are going to stop making stink face at each other and start getting back together, start doing trade again, despite the threat of sanctions being thrown all over the place.
Well, I think that's a good thing as far as German and the German people, because, you know, they're so close to Russia, and they do want to trade with each other.
Absolutely. I mean, these sanctions have caused all kinds of harm all over Europe, and the European people are very, very angry about that.
Well, not only that, though, the French, you know, they're upset because of the sanctions, because they had done business with the Russian farmers and other people in Russia for years.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to let you go.
They're just messing about with the world to prove that they can do it.
Right. Well, Michael, I'm going to let you go. You take care.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. You know what's really interesting? We're seeing a government in this country and also in Europe that are moving toward more and more control over all aspects of life. But they really should have learned the lesson from the Soviet Union, because the Soviet Union, especially under Stalin, tried to do exactly the same thing. And it resulted in hideous mistakes like Lysenkoism. And in the end, it was a major reason why the Kremlin was dysfunctional, because they were so busy meddling with individual people's lives, the workload was just enormous. And I think it was Thomas Jefferson who said that government governs best which governs least, although that may have also been Ben Franklin. I have to go back and reread my homework, as it were. All right, another phone call. Mark in North Carolina. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
This switch?
Hold on, let me just make this slow. Yeah, I just want to ask a couple of questions. One, you said that there would be alliances, and you said Pakistan and India would be on the side of would be together. I don't know about that. They've hated each other since the country split in two after the British Mandate. And the other thing is, I want to ask you about those sanctions. Why do the Europeans have to go along with the sanctions? Why, since it's only the United States that put these sanctions on, why is that, for instance, now that a lot of these European countries can't get aluminum because the U.S. put sanctions on Russia, you know, which is really...
Well, because the leaders of the EU are basically fully on board, you know, with the U.S. agenda. You keep hearing about the special relationship. And, you know, anytime you hear that, you know, put your hand on your wallet right away, whether it's the special relationship with Great Britain or the special relationship with Israel. Another part of it, of course, is that up until recently, most global commerce was going through this SWIFT system, which is under U.S. control, and the U.S. could go on in there and throw a few buttons and basically block financial transfers to the sanctioned countries. That's why these other countries are now coming up with their own parallel systems. BRICS has got one. Apparently, the Shanghai Cooperative Organization is coming up with their own. And they're moving away from the dollar because they're realizing the dollar is used as a tool of enslavement for their countries, the same as it's used for the enslavement of the American people.
You know, that aluminum sanction, that's going to make it almost impossible to build cars in the West. I mean, you talk about, you know, cutting off your nose, a spiky face. I mean, it's ridiculous. I just don't know what's going on. And again, what you told me about India and what you said about India and Pakistan, is that really true that they're going to form an alliance with Russia and China?
No, it didn't say they're forming an alliance. What it says is they're getting ready to hold joint military drills with Russia and China. But that does indicate that they are all coming together in the face of a common enemy.
It's hard to imagine the India and Pakistan, though. I mean, you know, even India and China have been enemies for quite a while.
Well, there's been some border skirmishes going on. You know, they're still arguing over that Kashmir region. But again, they're looking at this threat of invasion by the United States. And apparently, you know, they're willing to put down their smaller squabbles and say, we've got to take this seriously now.
What do you think as far as Turkey goes? I mean, this guy is Erdogan is a very, to put it mildly, very mercurial, I guess you could say. He puts down Assad in one way, but in another way, he seems to be teaming up with Russia. What do you think is going on there?
I think Erdogan is keeping his options open, but he's definitely a loose cannon on deck. And I think the reason for that is that botched U.S.-backed coup d'etat attempt a few years ago. Somebody goes through something like that, they're not going to remain entirely cheerful. And I think Turkey is in Syria primarily to get the Kurds, to end this idea of an independent Kurdistan, because both Syria and Turkey understand an independent Kurdistan is going to be built out of chunks of their countries, and they don't want to give up that territory.
Another thing is, I understand that one of the reasons the oil prices are rising the way they are right now is that because they're going to muscle Iran out of the market again because with the sanctions. Is that true? And if that's the case, we in this country better start rising up and saying, no, you're not going to do this to us. You're not going to, you know, you're not only putting us in a war, you're going to destroy us economically.
They've already done both. The reason our economy is in the shape that it's in right now is 18 years of a wartime economy. And that's longer than the U.S. has been at war at any other time in history. I mean, World War II was only 6 years.
Well, Trump keeps on bragging how good the economy is under him and this and that. You keep hearing the stuff from the usual mainstream media again about the economy being so great. So, I don't know. It didn't look that good to me. Let's put it like that.
No, it doesn't look that good to me either. I mean, we're just here on the island of Oahu. We've got 8,000 homeless people, and they're all over, despite the efforts by the police to sort of corral them into areas where the tourists can't see them. You know, you'll see them on the median and near the left turn lane trying to get some money. And it really is disgusting that we have a nation that is willing to spend $600 billion per year on the Defense Department, but nothing for the American people. The illegal immigrants and refugees are being treated better by the U.S. government than American citizens who have just, you know, fallen out the bottom of the system.
You know, all that money we waste on the so-called defense budget, I call it the police the world budget, we could have the most magnificent health system in the world. I mean, everybody could be covered, you know, we'd have just what we need, and instead it all goes for weapons and, you know, military budget. That just doesn't make any sense. You know, it's disgusting.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't. And in the long run, I'm one of the many reasons I'm opposed to a global war is I think the U.S. is going to lose it. When you look at the poor performance and high cost of America's modern weapons versus that of Russia and China, if you look at the poor morale and condition of our ground troops, the poor quality of our naval command crews, look at all those accidents they've been having. Look at the Fat Leonard corruption scandal. Apparently sexual assaults in the military shot up by 10% last year alone.
Yeah, and wait till these pilots will start running into people who really know how to handle the these defensive systems. Really would not know how to knock down an aircraft, and for that matter, the Russians got excellent pilots themselves, even without going to nuclear war. I mean, Russian pilots are some of the best. And they're true. And
well,
they're
unfortunately, my concern is that the United States government, when they realize they cannot win a conventional war, will resort to the nuclear arsenal. Paul Craig Roberts, I think it was about a month and a half ago, came on out and said there was actual serious discussion going on in Washington, D.C. about just getting rid of Russia with an unprovoked nuclear first strike. Just wipe them out in one blow, and then America will rule the world. China would back down, so forth and so on.
As if the Russians weren't ready for something like that, prepared for something like that, and as their missiles are going to go. I don't know if you ever watched the Terminator, any of the Terminator movies. The whole thing is about that's what happened. That Skynet.
Yeah, hold that thought. Hold that thought because we got to take another break for commercials, and we'll be back to finish your call. We got another caller waiting on the line. Stay tuned.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I can't believe I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking with Mark in North Carolina, and I think we're probably all in agreement. This is probably the most dangerous time in U.S. history. not just because there's a third world war taking place, but because of the potential of utter destruction if the nuclear arsenals are resorted to by both the U.S. and Russia, which Israel would love. They'd love to see the U.S. and Russia nuke each other out of existence, or at least out of any kind of preeminence in the global society. That would leave Israel with their nuclear arsenal in charge of the Mideast oil fields, and through that oil, they would have tremendous control over the rest of the world.
Well, I kind of think Israel would go along. I don't think there'd be anything left of Israel either if something like that happened. I don't think there'd be much left of the planet, period. But
I'm afraid I agree with you.
I mentioned the Terminator before, Terminator
yes.
movies. I think that was meant by James Cameron. You probably know more than I would about that because I know you connected with Hollywood and all that. I think that was meant as kind of a warning. If Cameron is concerned about what's going on, even back in the 1980s, our reliance on machines for one thing, and the tension between at that time the United States and the Soviet Union, and now again between the United States and Russia, the amount of nuclear weapons, how computerized a lot of this stuff is, how just a mistake, like you just said, Paul Craig Roberts said, if you have people making threats like that, well, let's say you're Putin. All you got to see is there's some kind of a blip, maybe a computer blip, and you think, oh, my God, it's underway. And boom, they start launching air missiles. And this is basically what happened with the Terminator with Skynet. And do you think that's what Cameron was thinking about when he came up with the...
You have to understand, in the Terminator movies, Skynet simply declares war on all human beings. And it's got nothing to do with America or Russia or anything like that. And I think Cameron's thought, at least in the original movie, he was trying to tell a story of how we allowed our weapons to get out of our control. And yesterday we had the story about experts saying that adding artificial intelligence to weapons systems is a very dangerous thing to do. Because we have the new generation of AI that's called zero AI, meaning it's all self-instructed. We don't know what's going on inside them. And you're absolutely right. We could see a Terminator-style launching of nuclear weapons.
Because you take some of these machines, we don't know what, like you said, we don't know what they're thinking. If they're intelligent, they might figure they're a lot more intelligent than us, and we don't serve any purpose to them. And, I know it sounds science fiction-like, but unfortunately I can see it happen. And they can use it with our own weapons, you know?
Yeah, it's entirely possible. Anything's possible. Or it could just be a simple mistake. I mean, during the Cold War, there were a couple of near misses. There's another movie, War Games, that was about this kid hacking into Cheyenne Mountain and almost triggering a nuclear war. That was actually based on a true event. Now, there wasn't any kid outside hacking on in, but somebody had put a training tape onto that display and control system, and nobody realized it was a training tape. And we came very close to launching our nuclear missiles at Russia. These systems are very complicated. Mistakes happen all the time. Electronics break down. Meantime, between failure, all kinds of issues. Anyway, Mark, we got to let you go. We got to do station identification, and we got more calls waiting on the other side. Be right back.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsite.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.